Imagine this rope, okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on Earth. You've got a few short years here on Earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm gonna work hard, I'm gonna save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that, and you're thinking, oh man, am I gonna get to travel? Am I gonna eat well? Am I gonna do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about all this stuff? It's crazy to me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. Because when I face him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth. And it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity.
The red part. For any one of us, the most that we can hope for in our lifetime is to last about 100 years. Most will be less than 100 years. Maybe somebody will reach 100 years here. Maybe somebody will go a little bit longer, but there is an end. And with this red part representing 100 years, you can find where you're at based off a fraction, based off a percentage, that maybe you're here and you're near the beginning. And you know what you're worried about? Will I find someone that will love me forever? Maybe you're here and like, will I ever have kids? Maybe you're here, is my career ever going to be where I want it to be? Am I going to be financially stable? Will I ever buy a house? Will I save enough for retirement? Will I be able to retire? Will I be able to travel? Will I be able to see grandkids? And we worry, and we focus, and everything is about what takes place right here. But there is so much more to our lives beyond the red. That when we talk about eternity, it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And yet we focus on the little part. Do you know when we finally take our eyes off the red, the only moments in our lives that we have clarity, that we look up to say, whoa, there's more? Is there more? When we're faced with our own mortality, when someone that we love, someone that we hold dear, when their red is up, when their life is up, and we begin to question, is there more? Is there more meaning? Is there more time? Is there more? For this series, we're looking at the fact that eternity is a really, really long time. And through this series, we're going to discover that eternity is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Jesus is coming back. And hope is real. Today, our goal is to ask and answer this question. Is there more after this life? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, I've got good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones and open your Bible app with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're reading out of the New Living Translation. The book of 2 Corinthians is the second letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And in this book, he's describing what happens when we die. So we're picking up in verse number 1. Words are going to be up on the screen. And here's what it says. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, meaning that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. Now let me pause for a second there. That means after we die, we're not spirits floating around without bodies. But it also means that we're not cute little naked babies with harps. Okay? Going on to verse 4. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh, mainly because it's our back and knees. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us the Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be home with the Lord. So what do we do with this information? What's our purpose? Verse 9. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to make lots of cheddar, to make lots of money. Is that what it says? No. Okay, so whether we are here in this body or away from our body, whether we are alive or we're dead and beyond, our goal is to become an influencer and have videos go viral. No? Okay. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to remodel our house and get our dream cars. No. Our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Let's pray. God, I pray as we talk about eternity today that you will open our eyes, allow us to change our focus, challenge us. May we realize what's most important. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. It's been said that eternity is a very long time, especially towards the end. Some of you are getting that. Some of you will get that. So what are some things in our life that feel like an eternity? How about when your teenager's trying to get ready? Or I'm not speaking from personal experience on this one, but maybe some of you can relate, when your wife is shopping and they bring you along. Or eternity feels like forever trying to get your food at Cracker Barrel. You're laughing because you know, yeah. Or how about a road trip? Ever said, are we there yet? Feels like eternity. Or how about you're on the phone waiting to talk to a human representative? How about this? For your football fans out there, the last 2 minutes of a football game is never 2 minutes. It can last forever. Now, speaking of football, my family loves football, and when we came here, we found out that this family loves football too, except this family really likes some team that's got green and gold. And so they tried to tell us that, Pastor, if you're going to move here, which was 7 years ago, if you're going to move here, you've got to like the Packers. And I'm like, deal's off. I guess we're not coming. So we had to come up with a compromise because our family comes from Kansas City. And so we love the Kansas City Chiefs and you guys like the Packers. And it turns out we're in different divisions and they hardly ever play each other. And so we made a deal. And our deal was this. that I can cheer for your team and you can cheer for my team as long as we're not playing each other. But if we are playing each other, all bets are off. Now, it turns out that over the years, there's only been a small handful of times where the Packers play the Chiefs. And whenever that's happened, we have a football-themed weekend here at Focus Church, and we call it the Focus Bowl. Like, it doesn't matter what else happens in football season, the Focus Bowl is where it's at. And guess what? December 3rd, the Chiefs are coming to Lambeau to play the Packers, and it's on. The Focus Bowl is in full effect. You're going to want to be here. You're going to want to show up in your green and gold. Or if you don't care about the green and gold, support your pastor and wear red. Oh, yeah. So, and we do have, let me just tell you, there has been an invasion at Focus Church. There are Chiefs fans in our church. That's not just me. Unfortunately, I've heard there's some Vikings fans and some Bears fans that's invaded too. But we won't talk about that, okay? But you know what? In a few weeks when we have the Focus Bowl, we're doing something special. We're not just wearing our jerseys. We're not just wearing stuff. We're going to have some cool treats. We're going to have some great decorations. We're going to have some fun with it. But we want to invite people to be here for that weekend, to be here to celebrate Focus Bowl with us. And so we figured out what we think might be a good way to get people to come. So here's what we're doing. Every service that weekend, because the football game is Sunday night football, 720 Lambeau Field, that means it's possible to go to church that weekend and go to the game. So in each service at Focus Church that weekend, we're giving away 2 free tickets to the game. All 3 services, so 6 tickets in all. We're giving away tickets that you can come to church and get to go for free. Isn't that cool? You may say, Pastor, why are you doing it? Like, it's expensive to go to it. You know why? Let me tell you why. Because we're doing this series on eternity, lasts a really long time, and we want people to come to church because the last message of the series is that Jesus is coming back and there is hope, and hope is real. And so we want people here. Now, some of you just heard about that giveaway, and you're like, whoa, I would like to go to the game. And with that knowledge, you've started thinking and changing your plans. Like, I wonder what I'm doing that weekend. I'm feeling kind of lucky. I think I might win. Pastor, how do I sign up? Let me tell you how to sign up. You can go on the Church Center app right now. You can be the first person to sign up for the drawing. And the thing is, you can sign up for all 3 services drawings. You just have to be present to win. So you can go all 3 services. And you're using this and you're thinking, ooh, who would I take in my second ticket? Because I know my wife doesn't want to be in the cold. And so then you're making plans. Like, if you sign up and I sign up and they sign up, we might have a better chance of winning. And wait, Pastor, which service has the least amount of people in it? The Saturday night service? Oh, it's like you're changing your plans already just based off the knowledge that the Focus Bowl is happening and we're giving away tickets. And you know what? It's changing your future. It's changing your day, just that little bit of knowledge. But let me tell you this. What you believe about eternity changes what you do today. What you believe about eternity changes, determines how you live today. Because here's the fact. You will live forever, and you will live somewhere. It's either going to be heaven or hell, and what you do today impacts your eternity. It's been said that the day which we fear as our last is actually the birthday of our eternity. Now, according to the Bible, there are 3 things that happen after this life is done. We're going to look at these 3 things. First, our physical bodies, they die. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. Studies are totally conclusive on this fact. 1 out of 1 people die. Now, when people die, 55% of all people die from the top 10 causes of death. And I've looked at the top 10 causes of death, and they're all boring. You know why? Because they deal with our bodies failing, because our bodies are not designed to last forever. There's an expiration. But you know what? There are some people throughout history who have found some very creative ways to move on after this life. Like a guy by the name of Rands. He lived in France in 1911. He decided to invent a trench coat parachute. And so he tested it out by jumping off the Eiffel Tower once. Death by Eiffel Tower. Or how about Hans, who lived in 1567? He held the record for the longest beard ever. It was almost 5 foot long, is what he was known for. But one day, his house caught on fire, and he was in a panic, but he wanted to run. But normally when he runs with a beard that long, you have to prepare to run. You have to roll up your beard so you can run, but he forgot because it's on fire, and he ran, tripped over his beard, and broke his neck on the ground and died. Death by beard. A guy by the name of Daniel in 1997. He's at the beach building a sandcastle. He's building the moat and digging the moat around his sandcastle. And he starts digging and he digs and digs and gets down 8 feet deep when it collapses on him. And they can't get him out in time. And that day, Daniel experienced death by sandcastle. Or how about Cameron in 2008, who thought it was a really smart idea to hop in a shopping cart and hold on to an SUV while it went down the road. When all of a sudden, the shopping cart hit a speed bump while going 42 miles per hour. Just use your imagination as to what happened next. Cameron experienced death by shopping cart. No matter how crazy or how safe you are, no matter how sick or how healthy you are, no one cheats death. Our bodies die. That's the first thing that happens when it's over. The body, not going to make it. But the second thing that happens is that our soul separates from our physical bodies. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 says, don't be afraid. This is Jesus saying, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You see, we are not a body with a soul, but rather we are a soul with a body. As we read today in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says to be away from these earthly bodies is to be present or at home with the Lord. When Jesus was being executed on a cross, he wasn't the only one being executed that day. There was two other guys. They were also on crosses on either side of him. You know the picture, right? The Easter picture. And these two thieves, the Bible records, started having a conversation while they're just hanging out together, about to die. One of them is yelling at Jesus like, hey, I don't think you're really like the guy that everyone says you are. Ha, ha, ha. Save us if you can. And the other guy's, no, we deserve to be where we're at. We're guilty of our crimes. We deserve our punishment. But that's an innocent guy there. And he turns to Jesus and he asks a question. He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus' reply to him was, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. That although this guy's physical body was dying that day, he was moving on because his soul still lived. That means our soul goes from physical body to something else. Now, Paul wrote about this struggle that he has with being a resident of two realms, a physical earthly realm we are all residents of, but we also are residents of an eternal realm. And we see this in his letter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, for I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or I die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. You get to be with Christ. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which one is better. I'm torn between the two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. The struggle to be here is to not be with Jesus. To not be here is to be with Jesus. So of the things that happen when this life is done, number one, our physical bodies die. Number two, our soul separates from our physical bodies. But number three is that we will all face judgment. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter's writing, and he says, remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. You see, the Bible describes that there's going to be two judgments that take place on the other side. That means when I'm looking at this rope, we're living our life in the red. When it's over, we're still going to be around. And in this first part, somewhere in here, in this white, there's some judgments, what we can expect. The first judgment is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. This is a judgment that's for non-believers, people who have not given themselves over to God as their leader, who have not said yes to God and accepted the salvation that he offers. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, it says, this is John speaking. He saw this in a vision. It's recorded. What's going to happen at the end? He says, I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were open, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Verse 15. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. You see, when you give your life over to God, when you say yes to him and say, God, I'm making you the leader of my life, some cool things happen. We're forgiven of our sins. We become a part of God's family. We know that we can get to heaven, but because of this one thing is that when we make that decision, when we have that conversation with God, when we pray that prayer, our name is written in the book of life. That's how we know we're going to get to go to heaven, because right here at the great white throne judgment, if your name is not in the book, you're not in. Now, our names are not written because we are good. Our names are not written in that book because we've done something awesome or because we deserve it. It's by God's grace alone. Nothing we've done, but everything that he's done in sending his son Jesus. And because of what Jesus did, we accept it as a gift, not for what we've done. But if you do not know Jesus, if you have not given your life over to Jesus, if you haven't accepted his gift of salvation, your name is not in the book. When it comes time for this judgment, the great white throne, your fate will be that which was recorded in verse 15. Anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Jesus talks about this. In Matthew chapter 7, he says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. He said, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and we cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. And my reply is going to be, I never knew you. Get away from me. You who broke God's laws. You see, eternity is going to be based on what happens now. And it's not about being a good person. It's not about helping enough old ladies across the street. It's not about giving enough money and being charitable. It's about one thing, one way, to be in a relationship with Jesus, to have your name written in the book of life. But there's a second judgment. The second judgment is for people who die knowing Jesus. And this is the judgment seat of Christ. We read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 a few moments ago. Verse 10, it says, "We must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil that we have done in this earthly body." And in this particular judgment, this is not about whether or not you get to go to heaven or not. This is about something else, that as you have followed Jesus in this life, in the red section, that there's going to be a reward. Like when you finish a race or a competition and they announce, here's the medals, here's the trophies, here's who stands on the stands. And as the Bible describes it, when this moment happens, we get to come before Jesus, who sits on the champion's throne, and it gets read out and claimed out, this is what you did, and we're going to receive a crown. And the crown and what happens with it and what's on it and what jewels will be based off what do we do while we follow Jesus while in the red, while on this planet, while in these earthly bodies. So imagine Jesus saying, you made a difference in the lives of kids. Imagine him saying, you prayed and you prayed. Imagine saying, you were the brightest light in your office. You didn't have much, but you gave. You listened and you obeyed every time I asked you to do something. You didn't know anyone was watching, but I saw your faithfulness. You gave me food when I was hungry, water when I was thirsty. You visited me. Jesus says, when you do it to the least of these, you're doing it to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, we read it. It says, so whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. So we're going to go through this second judgment, all of us who are believers, who die as believers. We're going to enter into eternity. We're going to get a reward for what we did while we were in these earthly bodies. But you know what happens next? The Bible describes that when we get these crowns, we end up giving these crowns back to Jesus, because this wasn't the point of why we were on this planet. We do it for God. We say, it's yours. You deserve all the honor. You deserve all the glory. All honor and glory belongs to you. It's only because of you we get to be where we're at in eternity. And eternity is a really, 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 really long time. So in light of this, recognizing this, we need to be able to declare this statement. It's in the red box in your notes, and it says that because eternity is real, I will change how I live my life. Meaning, we need to open our eyes that there's so much more than what's just right in front of us. That there are things way bigger than what's troubling us right now. Eternity is real. It's a really long time. And although our time on this planet is so short compared to all of eternity, there is hope. This is not meant to be a message that's hopeless, but actually a message that's hopeful, to put things in perspective, to recognize that, yes, there is more. When Jesus was on this planet, the Bible describes he had a friend. His name was Lazarus. And he got a message that his friend Lazarus was really sick, and his sister said, please come, because you could do something for him. We believe you can heal him. Please come right away. And Jesus wasn't able to come right away. By the time that Jesus was able to arrive in Bethany, where Lazarus and Mary and Martha lived, it was too late. He didn't come fast enough. And Lazarus died. As you can imagine, Mary and Martha were distraught, as you and I would be as we lose a loved one, because we're all going to die, but we kind of live life thinking we're all going to live forever. And Martha, as soon as Jesus showed up, she had some choice words to give to Jesus. You didn't come on time. You didn't answer. You could have done something. You could have changed this. This didn't have to happen. I think we would all want to say that to God when we lose a loved one. This didn't have to happen if you had just done something. But Jesus consoles Martha with a statement. And in this statement, if we're not careful in looking at the statement as recorded in John chapter 11, we apply the statement to what Jesus does next. And if you've read the story, you know that Jesus actually brings Lazarus back to life. But that's not what the statement was about. This statement was about a perspective change, a refocusing on what does it mean to be alive. Martha was concerned about getting more red for Lazarus. And what Jesus told her is, he said this. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. What Jesus was talking about is, the red is not all there is. If you believe in me, because I am the resurrection and the life, there is more. We don't die. We change bodies. But where we spend this eternity, what happens in this eternity is only decided by what happens in the red. We need a perspective change, because eternity is real. Eternity is a really long time. And we need to live our lives, the red part, with this in mind, like we understand this truth. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes, as we take a moment to talk to God. God, it's not very often that we talk about this subject. To talk about our own mortality, that we will not live forever in these bodies, that these bodies are destined to fail. There's an expiration date on them. That even if we are the most healthy person, we don't even know if tonight we breathe our last. That it could take just a moment and eternity begins for us. And yet, God, we live our lives focused only on the red part, focused only on the next thing. We get overwhelmed with anxiety and stress. We put too much stock in what happens next. We want to just be happy. Don't I deserve to be happy, God? Don't I deserve to be comfortable? Don't I deserve to be loved? We focus on the littlest thing, the red part. But God, we see that in your word, that there is more to this life, that there is an eternity, and that we need a refocusing. So God, I pray that we start changing our viewpoint of what it means to live this life in light of eternity. Help us, God, to refocus. Help us, God, to even come to grips on whether or not our name is written in that book of life. God, it's time to get real with you. So God, help us. Challenge us. Change us. We know that eternity is real. And eternity is a really long time. Help us, God. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, it's at this point in the service that we give you the opportunity to say yes to God, to go all in. But you know what? It's even more important now, based off what you just heard, that you know that you know that you are in. That you know that you know that, hey, I have really made the decision to be a believer, to be a follower of Jesus. That this is not just something that we just do. It's not something we just recite. But this is eternity changing. And I want to help you with this prayer. Today can be the day that you can go from not in to being in. Or to go from halfway in to being all in. Because eternity is not something we mess around with. You don't know if you have tomorrow. But you do have this moment in time. And so I want to help you with this prayer. I'm going to say it in bite-sized pieces out loud. I'm going to invite you to repeat after me out loud, saying it. The Bible says, first we believe in our heart, but we also say it out loud with our mouth. We say, God, you're in charge. God, I give you me. God, I decide to make you the leader of my life. God, I'm sorry. God, I believe. God, I claim what Jesus did on that cross for me. So you're going to be saying it out loud. You're not praying it alone. We're all praying it together. No one prays alone at Focus Church. The Focus family is praying with you. Because this is the most important thing we do. And we just don't say it. It's important because there's a whole lot of white after the red. Eternity is a really long time. And today could be the day that you know what happens in the white. And so let's pray. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.